Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey there, Driven Woman. Welcome back. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you my client, Tanya. She actually refers to herself now as Tanya 2.0 because we made some really transformational changes in her life. When Tanya and I first started working together, she had already burned out once. I mean, like burned to the ground, burned out, and was actually on her way to a second round. She didn't feel like she was managing her responsibilities at work or at life, in spite of the fact that she was working really hard, is very, very creative and super smart. But Tanya was actually doing too much, even though she didn't feel like she was doing enough. Over the 3 months that we worked together, we were able to create some really fundamental and transformational changes in the way she thought and in the way she went about doing things in her life, many of which we are going to share with you during today's interview. Now, you're going to want to grab the show notes afterwards because there will be links to a couple of things you're definitely going to want to get your hands on. We will be referring to a couple of my very favorite productivity tools that we used, which is the Trello project management system and the Eisenhower Matrix. So you can link to those and learn all about them. But you're definitely going to want to get the Powerful Questions worksheet. As you'll hear in the interview, Tanya feels that was one of the most transformational that we used during our 3 month coaching engagement. Some of the other highlights: Tanya can now identify her actual limits, set boundaries, and say no without apologizing or feeling guilty. She now has time for self-care and family time instead of giving up sleep and having to go without exercise and taking care of herself in the process. She's no longer on track to burnout, and as a matter of fact, has recently received a promotion and more responsibility at work. I don't think any of this was going to happen just a few months ago. And I think one of the most surprising outcomes, and by the way, I am not a doctor and this is not an expected outcome, but for Tanya, as a result of the changes that we made, she was actually able to get off of anxiety medication. Now, you may or may not know this, but almost 50% of adult women are either on an anti-anxiety or an antidepressant medication. Clearly, there is something systemically wrong if that many of us need that kind of help. So I like to think that sometimes making some changes in our habits and in our mindset might be enough of a difference so that we don't all need to be medicated just to cope with our lives. So I can't wait to share my friend, my client, Tanya 2.0 with you. And don't forget to grab that worksheet on Powerful Questions. Buckle up and enjoy. Here we go. Tanya, I know how much we have both been looking forward to reconnecting and to this conversation. And okay, maybe this is just shameless of me, but please tell me again the story that you told me during our consult about where you first heard about me, because it's seriously one of my favorites of all time.
Gosh, I was in my car listening to another podcast and you were a guest. And the first couple of sentences that you spoke, I mean, I was hooked. I thought, I have to meet this woman. I have to reach out to her. And she gets me. She gets me and I get her, but she has something that I don't have, but I need. So I got to a red light and I went into my notes on my phone and I just spelled out your name since you were, you know, sharing the spelling of your name. It's a little bit different. So it's D-I-A-N-N. And I thought, as soon as I get to the house, I'm going to look her up and I'm just, that's it. I'm going to sign up for her podcast and her blogs, whatever she's got, I want that.
Dude, I read a book by Pat Flynn. I'll link to it in the show notes because Pat has been one of my mentors. And he wrote a book called Superfans. And when I first heard about this book, as much as I love Pat, Pat was the first person who got me on the road to becoming a podcaster. And I've learned so much from his show. But Superfans, I thought, nah, you know, I'm never going to have a super fan. That's kind of creepy. But I swear to God, Tanya, I think you may be my super fan.
I am. And I proclaim it. I definitely am your super fan.
Well, sure. We had so much fun working together. And I want to take you back a little bit because it's been a few months. When you first reached out, you said, I'm letting myself and other people down. I'm very smart. I'm very hardworking. I'm talented. I'm gifted. I do a lot of things really well. But I don't say no enough. I do too much. And I kind of always feel like there's a war between trying to do all the things for work and trying to be present for my family. And I feel like I'm not really showing up the way I want to anywhere. It was causing you a lot of anxiety and a lot of overwhelm. And, you know, this is my jam, obviously, is smart, overwhelmed women who are tired of letting themselves down and want to show up for themselves in a more powerful way. And remind me what you had done prior to our working together to try to get things under control, because you're kind of a self-help person too, and you're heavily invested in personal growth. So what are some of the things that you had done leading up to our working together?
I feel like I did pretty much everything under the sun to find a solution, or rather, I was looking for someone who I could connect with that would understand me and really guide me into a better place. Now, I tried therapy for many, many years.
Same person or different people?
Different people, different places, different centers, different states. My husband's in the military. And so, you know, we've moved around a little bit, and pretty much everywhere I went, it was, all right, let's see who's in town that I can connect with, that can help me. And it seemed that I would get like little bits and pieces of good information, but nothing that would really move the meter for me. And so I would always go back to that feeling of I'm not enough. I'm not meeting these expectations. And I just felt like a failure in every front, in every area of my life. And when I learned about your experiences and how, and heard how similar they were to some of the things I experienced, I thought, this is it. This is it. And I've looked at other coaches. I've looked at different podcasts. I mean, that's how I found you, just looking to like to all these self-help tools and trying to overcome these mental barriers.
And I think I appreciate everything you said. And it's really it's kind of the typical story. I think one of the things that makes me a little bit crazy is that it's one thing if you don't know that there are solutions and you just continue to suffer, but you were very active in trying to seek answers. You were very active in reading self-help books, listening to podcasts, working with therapists, trying medications, doing all sorts of different things to try to feel more balanced, more centered, more focused, and more in control. And it was always just out of your reach. And I think from having been a psychotherapist for so many years, it was a wonderful profession. I don't regret it for a minute. I feel very proud of my body of work. But the number of people who are actually able to help a very bright, high ability woman in the mental health field, there's not many. Unfortunately, the training, the education, and really kind of the thinking is therapy helps people who've been abused, who've experienced trauma, who've experienced loss or have an addiction or something like that, something serious. And the goal is to bring them back to baseline. But what if your baseline is already functional and what you want is to excel? I came to realize that therapy really is not the best modality for that. And coaching is much better suited because therapy, you kind of tend to go over the same territory again and again and again, which I think only reinforces your existing beliefs about yourself.
Yes, yes. And I agree with you 100%. As a matter of fact, it got to a point where after years and years and years of trying different therapists, different solutions, I realized I don't want this. You're not helping me. You're just sitting there. And, you know, not to say that these folks weren't, you know, kind and really wanted to help, but I feel like they were not properly equipped to help. They were equipped to listen. And what I wanted was not just someone that could listen to me, but someone who could tell me, okay, this is how you feel. This is what you're experiencing. Here is the new path. Here is where we're going to do things differently to overcome those challenges that you've been dealing with pretty much your whole life. And I got really sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I thought to myself, I have to do something different to achieve a different result.
No, it totally makes sense. And I think I had a hard time when I reached that point in my therapy career, or my career as a therapist, is recognizing that I've invested a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of passion and compassion to help people. But I reached a point where I thought, I don't think this is helping. And around that time, because I have chronic pain, I was looking for answers for my own suffering that therapy didn't seem to help. And I began to really deeply study the brain and the mind. And I began to realize that when we keep talking about what we don't like about ourselves, and someone, you know, is listening to us, that's kind of reinforcing that belief. I would much rather challenge that thought, be that pattern interrupt, and say, I understand that you are thinking this, and it feels so true that you could probably pass a lie detector test right now. Yeah. However, it's learned and it can be unlearned if you choose to. Personally, I think that should be taught to kids in grade school, because
I'm with you.
Right? Like how the brain actually works, nobody knows. Even lots of therapists, which these are highly educated people who are devoting their lives to helping others. But brain science and like how thoughts are formed, frankly, I think the most, what I tell people to do is you don't need to go to therapy. Watch the Disney movie. And right now, I swear to God, it's escaping me. What is, of course, it's escaping me because I wasn't planning to talk about it. You have a kid. What is the name of the movie that talks about emotions? And it has the little characters. There's one for anger and one for depression. And
yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I can't remember the name of it either. But yeah, there's joy, sadness, anger.
Yes.
And yeah.
And it talks about how memories are formed and how memories are dissolved. And when I first saw that movie, I was like, this
Inside
explain
out.
What is it? Inside Out. Boom, Inside, you win.
Yep.
You win. Yes, Inside Out. And that is exactly, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Inside Out. So it's so descriptive of what was going on. And one of the things you were telling me is that my default mindset is like needs to be recalibrated. I need to think differently about myself. And I think this is the thing that most therapists don't understand about smart, high ability. I don't like the term high functioning, but basically that's what they call us. That's what I used to call us. You're a high ability woman who's falling short of your true potential. Some people will just say you're type A. You're an overachiever. You're a perfectionist. Right. Maybe, but I'm suffering. Can you help me?
Right.
Do you think differently about yourself now than you did, say, a year ago in terms of your potential, what you think you're capable of? And like, let's talk about that for a minute.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it took a long time to get there. But when I finally realized what I need isn't some external tool to really change things in my life. What I need is to, like you said, recalibrate. And that's essentially what what I needed the most. I needed to recalibrate the way that I thought about myself, about my expectations of myself, about my relationships, the people around me, and my family dynamics. I mean, there's so many different things that I really needed to sit down and ponder about, because it gets to, at least for me, it got to a point where I thought, okay, it's either me or really, really something wrong with me, or it's something else that is not quite leveling here, because there's such a disconnect and I felt so out of balance that I felt like I reached a point of no return. But now looking back, you know, a year from now to today, I'm a completely different person. Even, you know, from the very first day that I started to work with you, I realized things are going to be really different. I mean, actually, I know before we even spoke, when I heard you on that podcast, I thought, you know, this woman is exactly what I need. And they're honestly, I've never met anyone like you. And I'm so appreciative of everything that you've done. I mean, just sharing your experiences with everyone and being so open and honest, and just seeing you and how you interact with other people and how you share your experiences has helped in that recalibration in my own mind, because now I can accept myself for who I am and I don't have to apologize for who I am. Mm. Now, I'm not going to be a jerk to people, but realistically, who I am is who I am. And I love who I am. I'm not perfect by any means. No one
Nobody is.
But I'm freaking awesome.
And you know what? And the thing is that so many of us spend so much of our lives, and I've told you, literally wasted decades of my life seeking permission to be who I am from people who had no ability to give it to me.
And approval.
It's like, am I okay? Am I either, because half the time you're thinking you're too much and the other half of the time you're thinking you're not enough. Like, which is it? Pick a side. But yep. Seeking permission to be who you are. Sometimes I'm loud. Sometimes I'm withdrawn. Sometimes I'm really serious. And sometimes I'm just so silly. And I don't fit neatly into any particular box. I've had so many people say, wow, you're not what I expected. That's on you. Because I'm just who I am. And I think pretty much everybody is complex and nuanced and has multiple layers. And we do ourselves and each other such a disservice just conforming to some mythical norm of how we think we're supposed to be and literally editing all the parts of us, compressing them and, you know, disavowing ourselves of all of our humanity. And I think, honestly, it's one of the things I really love about millennials and younger people. And I think this has a lot to do with social media too, Tanya, is that younger people are like, you know what? We're not playing that game. This is who I am, whether it's your neurodiversity, your gender diversity, your nonconforming identity for whatever reason. It's like, nope. Not going back to the box, not going back to the closet, not going back to whatever mythical norm that you think I should be. This is who I am. Deal with it. It's what I call radical self-acceptance. And I think people who don't really understand that think that that means you're like militant and angry and aggressive and trying to force yourself on people. No, it can be so peaceful and so calming to just stop the inner fight.
Right. Absolutely. And it's funny because that radical self-acceptance, that it's a concept that people are so unfamiliar with. Because again, we're all trying to fit into this mold. Now, have you ever noticed, I mean, and I think it's the most interesting thing, how when you're like in a group of people, you kind of naturally tend to feel more attracted to those folks who are just like kind of carefree. They just are who they are. But then, you know, for ourselves, you know, we sometimes even think, well, I wish I could be more like that. They're the cool kids. They're the popular kid. they're the popular person. Why can't I be like that? And then we think I need to act a certain way to achieve that acceptance. But realistically, it's just being who you are. Mm-hmm. It's freeing and it's attractive to people because really we all want to be free from that, you know, mold that society kind of wants to put us in. And once you get to that point and you realize, fuck this, I don't need to pretend like I'm this. I just need to be who I am. And it is what it is. And more often than not, almost 100% of the time, people will respect that. Even if they don't, quote unquote, accept you, they probably don't matter anyway, but at least you will have that respect and people will understand, okay, this is her limit. This is his limit. This is just who they are. And you don't have to feel like, you know, you're constantly trying to meet someone's expectation.
It's true.
You.
And honestly, I think there's no way to know because I'm not one of the normies. But the funny thing is, I think I look like I would be one, right? I look like I'm white. I'm blonde. You know, I have blue eyes. I look like a middle-aged, middle-class, generic white lady. So a lot of people put expectations on that, like, oh, she's probably conservative. Not. She probably goes to church every Sunday. Not. She probably, you know, has certain political affiliations. Mm-hmm. Nope. Like, I mean, if you could see me behind the scenes, and you know my personality because yeah. we've worked together, like I'm probably not what you expected. And it's one of the reasons why I have tattoos, I swear. So I'm like, people are like, wait a minute, you're a Buddhist, but you swear a lot. And I say, you can think of me as a profane Buddhist if you like. It's like, just make up your own damn category, people. Like, and I agree with you. Yeah. I think, you know, when I think back to the journey that we took together, and I think one of the things that was the biggest struggle for you was that you're an achiever and you have a lot of bandwidth. You have a lot of energy. You're very smart right. and you like achieving. It's satisfying and fulfilling for you. Mm-hmm. So I would say, Tanya, you never met a challenge you didn't like, right? And we talked about how at work, you were always such a good firefighter because other people through their behavior would start fires. And you were so good at putting them out that in a way, we kind of need there to be an abundance of fires that we can keep putting out. But at some point, we realized you're probably doing the work of like two or three people. No wonder you're overwhelmed when you get home, and now you have the house and the kid and the hubby and all of the other stuff to deal with. And I tell you, one of the happiest days I had was when you told me you had scheduled a vacation and you were not going to take any work with you and that you had some extended family issues. You needed to get on a plane and go deal with that. You didn't apologize. You were like, you did not neglect your job. But you were able to act in alignment with your true values without feeling conflicted. And I thought, okay, we're getting somewhere. And I was really impressed with the fact that now you're setting better boundaries. Now you're saying no. Now you're not apologizing. Now you're taking better care of yourself. You're prioritizing your self-care. And you're also getting more respect from your family and your peers. I want you to talk about that for a minute because a lot of people who work with me say, yeah, but if I actually start taking better care of myself, aren't I going to have to neglect my family or let people down at work? And I'm like, no, but I think that's what a lot of people assume, like that you should be able to do it all. And if you're not able to do it all, you're letting someone down. Let's look at expectations about why you think you need to do it all from the get-go. Because chances are you're doing more than you should be across the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a couple of years ago, I was in therapy. And this is one of those, you know, golden little nuggets that I found, you know, in all my years of therapy. And the therapist had shared with me that based on my personality and my experiences with my family, you know, growing up as a kid, that I had the like a hero child personality. Mm. So there was a lot of trauma in my childhood. And so given that I was really the only one in my family who could speak good English mm-hmm. and, you know, solve some issues for my family members that they couldn't for themselves, I took on this role where matured a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I had to just kind of come to the rescue all the time. And so I grew up with this sense of duty, of responsibility. If something came my way, if I was even made aware that there was something wrong, because I know that I can handle it, I should do it. That's what I thought in my mind. Now, I would never say this out loud, and I never really realized it, mm-hmm. you know, until adulthood, that this is pretty much how I've been responding to life.
Makes
all
so
this time.
Much sense. Well, yeah, because, you know, in cases where the parents are neglectful or absent, when a parent is an alcoholic or they're incarcerated or they have mental health problems or whatever, you'll have a child who becomes the parentified child, who literally mm-hmm. becomes the stand-in adult. But we don't talk enough about the immigrant family where mm-hmm. one of the children is able to master the English language better, faster than the parents or the other siblings. And that child then becomes the designated adult because you're expected yeah. to navigate systems on behalf of the family. I worked at Children's Hospital mm-hmm. Los Angeles for 10 years, and I saw this happen often. And I would think those right. kids had a difficult road because, and you can verify this or not, they were very proud of their adult-like abilities and responsibilities, never making the connection until many years later that you mm-hmm. kind of missed out on being a kid.
Absolutely.
Nobody's
Absolutely.
Fault, but it does make you the best little overachiever ever. And that makes it really hard to set limits and boundaries without apology later on, which you obviously mm-hmm. experienced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was really tough for me. And once I understood this is what this is doing to me,
mm-hmm.
you know,
you burned out.
You
burned out.
I did.
Legit.
I straight up burned out. It got to a point at a previous job that I was doing three jobs. I was literally doing
paid
three jobs.
Paid for one, right?
One person paid for one. I was working ridiculous hours. I would wake up super early in the morning. I would sometimes go to bed at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning working
on
reports.
Yep.
Because I felt like I cannot wait until the morning, because if I wait until I get to the office, it's going to be too late. All yeah. this other stuff is going to pile on and I'm never going to get to it. And then I'm going to fail to meet this expectation. And instead of, you know, just sitting down and having a very serious conversation with the powers that be and trying to rearrange things, I just kind of ate it all up.
Well, you kept taking it because
since my responsibility.
Yeah, because since childhood, it's like, mm-hmm. it's on me. I need to do it. I need to make this happen. I can't let mm-hmm. people down. Like,
and yeah, absolutely. And for me, I have the personality of an obliger. And so
you have me to thank for that. Nobody wants to be an obliger, but most of us are. Come on.
No, it's true. It's true. But yeah, you know, when I was at this previous job, I not only had this feeling of like I needed to meet the expectation, but the fact that I knew that these things needed to be done and there was a lot of pressure on me for these things to get done, I felt like, you know, I have no other choice. And realistically, it really was either burn yourself out or you're just not going to meet the expectation. It got to a point where I lost close to like 40 pounds. My daughter would look at me and like with these sad puppy eyes and tell me, "Mom, I know you're not going to be with me on Saturday, but I know you're going to be at the office. But after you finish with work, can we go for a walk?" And that would just break my heart.
Of course.
She would consistently tell me, yeah, I mean, I wasn't supposed to be working on the weekend, but I was. And she's like, oh, yeah, like, I already know. It was
and you see how
fact.
She's coping. Well, and that's kind of like the next generation of parentified child. She's taking care of you. She's saying, it's okay. I can handle the disappointment of mom not being available to me. I know you need to work. And you're like, oh, this has to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all she wanted was just a little bit of my time to go for a walk, to ride a bike, to go for ice cream.
Right.
And I'm like, holy crap. If it's really gotten to this point to where my kid has to ask me for a few minutes of my time, you know, to go out for some ice cream or for a walk, something is very severely wrong here.
And you know what? You can really be proud of taking that wake up call to heart and doing something about it, because there are a lot of moms, and I don't have to tell you, there are a lot of moms out there who will refer to that child and say, she's so good. You know, she never puts any demands on me. You know, she knows how to cook, even though she's only nine. And I'm like, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be, because then we're just breeding future overachievers. And I mean, you and I share a lot of traits in common. And one of them is when you're an overachiever because of that kind of trauma. And you know what? Good parents create trauma. It's not their fault. Mm-hmm. The situation was traumatizing, you know, and they didn't do anything wrong to you, but a lot of the circumstances were stressful and traumatizing, and we don't realize that our expectations are excessive and unrealistic. We just think, I can't keep up, and we double down and we try twice as hard. I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, because I think this is so, so, so important. I've had so many people say, so I really would like to work with you. I know you're an expert on mindset and productivity for entrepreneurial women. And so I really hope that you're going to teach me a lot of tricks and tips and strategies so I can get more done. And I'm like, okay, first of all, hold on. I loved that you said that you came to understand there isn't like a tool or a strategy or a hack. It's literally changing your mind. However, because people will say, can you tell me the best planner? Can you tell me the best project management system? I hope you're going to tell me. And I do teach people tools. We did the Trello project management system, which helped you a lot at work. We worked extensively with the brain dump, with the Eisenhower matrix for do, delete, delegate, and defer. So it's not like we don't use tools, and there weren't tools as part of your coaching with me that helped you, but you're absolutely right. What got you to Tanya 2.0, and I love that you refer to yourself that way, was that you recognized, no, it isn't about the strategies. It's about changing your mind, changing the default settings in your mind, what you expect of yourself, what you attempt, what being productive means. Being productive doesn't mean getting more done. It means getting the right things done. And some of the right things are taking a damn nap and spending time with your kid.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just about more. That is the burnout path. You've already gone down that path. You don't need to go down that path a second time. One other thing I want to ask you before I let you go, because I could seriously spend the rest of today and all of the weekend with you, is one of your favorite things during our time together, which you have told me that you continue to use now that we're no longer coaching together, is powerful questions. Now, I just want to say that this is not for beginners. And if you know, Tanya's worked with a lot of therapists and was already well on the personal growth path before she began working with me. But powerful questions are, I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder. I think they really move the game piece when you're at that higher level. Right. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience with those?
So when you first introduced me to these powerful questions, it was really different for me because
Were you offended, by the way? Because
no,
sometimes when I've unleashed those on people, they're like, what the hell?
No, I think it was the most amazing thing. Because again, we don't necessarily sit down and start pondering about how we can recalibrate our own minds. Again, if we're stuck in a cycle, all we're going to know how to do is just
double
ask
down.
Ourselves the same questions, yeah. Double down, do it faster, harder, stronger, you know. And in order for that internal mindset change, you know, to happen, you need to start asking questions that are going to challenge those inner beliefs that
disrupt
you have.
The system.
Disrupt the system, absolutely. And you know, one of the wonderful questions that I just continuously ask myself when I'm facing a challenge is, what's perfect about this? Not what's the worst that can happen. Not
why is this shit always happening, you know, to me?
Yeah. Why is this always happening? Why is it always something? It's no. Why is this perfect? And then I start to think about how to not necessarily think about, you know, how I'm going to drown.
Right.
But really, how am I going to turn this into a learning experience, not just for myself, but even for the people around me. So, for example, at my current job, there was this huge issue that kept on coming up and still is, unfortunately, with this one particular property that, you know, we had been managing. And I thought to myself, what's perfect about this? And then my next comment during that work meeting, you know, in discussing this issue was, why don't we implement a short paragraph or some kind of blurb in our training manual so that we can learn, basically we're learning from this experience so that it doesn't happen again. So what are some things that we can do to now improve on this and avoid ourselves the headache?
Mm.
And rather than sitting there thinking about what did I do wrong? Now thinking in a way that'll turn this into a positive, rather than start going down this vicious road, this vicious cycle of, I'm a failure, I messed this up, why is this happening to me? And then just fall into this like victim mentality. You know, I can't do that. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. So those powerful questions really just, it helped me see things in a different light. You know, how can I do this better? How can I, you know, help others learn from this too, so that they can in turn duplicate what I've learned and avoid all this heartache, all these troubles and not experience what I had to go through.
Can I just tell you, Tanya, that was probably one of the most satisfying things about working with you that totally blew my mind and defied my expectations, because most of my clients take the tools, the perspective, the mindset, the strategies that they learn from me and improve their lives. And they're very happy with the outcome. You have been one of those rare individuals who, when you grab a hold of something and it changes your life, you share it with other people to change theirs. Like, that was remarkable. And everything that you learned from me that you really found beneficial, next time we would meet, you would tell me how you gave a presentation on that at work. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You just barely learned.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, yeah, let me do a screen share and show you. And I'm like, oh my God, this is remarkable, because your ability not only to learn quickly, you even took some of the things, and I think it was in the Trello system that you made some changes and adapted it so it would be better for your workplace and for your particular challenges. So you took something I gave you, incorporated it into your own repertoire, improved it, and calibrated it for your needs, and then stepped into a leadership role with your company and shared it with them. And you did that with several things, and including the powerful questions. And I think we can say that even though our childhoods, yours and mine, were challenging because we didn't always get to feel like a kid because of all that responsibility, that there is something positive from that. You do Absolutely. Have a very strong desire to teach and lead and train and help others. You don't hoard things to yourself when something Yeah. has improved your life. You want to share it. And I think that's coming Absolutely. Back to my joking about the super fan. Like, that's really the very best possible outcome for me as your coach, is that you're paying it forward. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And it's not what everybody does. Like, not everybody feels compelled to pay it forward. A lot of people feel like, okay, I got what I needed. My life is better. I'm less stressed out. Like, I don't even think you've mentioned today that you were able to get off of anti-anxiety medication, which is a huge thing, because you realized you were anxious because of the gap between where you were and where you thought you were supposed to be.
Absolutely.
But I think also, I can't imagine that your career isn't going to continue to evolve. And I expect to hear great things from you in the future. In fact, when you take your next big leap, because this month I've been talking a lot about upper limit issues and the zone of genius, I fully expect to continue to see you develop and grow and do great things. So you got to promise to come back and tell us all about it when you take your next quantum leap.
Thank you,
Tanya 2.0. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just can't get enough of you.
I cannot get enough of you. Honestly, I sing your praises all day, every day, to anyone who will listen.
Do you have a good singing voice? You can sing to me anytime. I would love that. I don't really sound very good. I sound okay in the shower, but nowhere else.
Don't worry, I'll send you a clip.
Okay, we're going to wrap.
This has been super fun.
Thank you. Hey, Driven Woman. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Maybe you've been listening to it from the beginning, or maybe you are a brand new listener, but either way, I am so glad you're here. And I hope that you are being inspired and motivated and actually learning how to move your life forward with each and every episode you hear. But I want you to know that there is a whole other level that is so much more powerful, and that is actually working with me. I want to invite you to consider that this fall 2021 is your time. I'm reintroducing my group coaching program. It'll be a small group experience that I will carefully curate by choosing the just right members. You might be one of them. To get on the interest list, click on the link in the show notes. There's no obligation, but you won't be able to hear the details unless you get on the list. Okay, so it's coming soon. I want to make sure that you learn everything you want to know to make the right choice for you. Now, if one-on-one is the only way for you to go, there's a link for that too. That starts with a free consultation to make sure that I'm the right coach for the right reason at the right time for you. But if group is more your jam, you got to get on the list. You want to hear from one of my other clients and what she felt about working with me? Have a listen to this.
So I remember when we talked about what you introduced as habit stacking, so pairing your habits. And when you did initially bring that up, my initial reaction was like, ugh, like that sounds awful. Like, I don't want to do that. But that was like one of the first things that one of the first shifts that our work together had changed. And that is something that I'm grateful for every day. So the first thing I do in the morning is I go pee. And so what your advice was, take your medication, you know, right after, have your glass of water there in the bathroom. And so that's sort of my daily routine, is going to the bathroom, taking my medication, contacts, coffee. Yeah. And it's great because it just cuts out any chance of forgetting, which then would lead to kind of lollygagging around. And then like, oh, wait, have I taken it? I should take it. Wait, but this one other thing. And so that really starts off the day so consistently and well. So that is the first thing. And then with regards to the rest of my morning routine, my best friend and I, we live together and we exercise in the morning now. So we've been doing that for the past 4 months, like at least 4 days a week. And so we do Beachbody, and it's just really fun because we do have the accountability of there's going to be someone waiting for you. So your butt better be up.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.